there, and welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. And I also ask them for tips for other aspiring authors. Today's guest sees the podcast travel to Scotland. I love how I get to talk to people all over the place. My guest is Kath Parrington, who combined a corporate career in banking and a lifelong love of words and storytelling to write her first book. The Real Business Plan is a simple, no-nonsense guide to writing a business plan that takes out all the angst and complication and makes it a straightforward process. And of course, being the weirdo I am, I was very excited to find out how Kath went about planning a book about planning. Enjoy the show. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Hello, Alison. Nice to be here.
Yeah, lovely to meet you too. So tell me about your book.
So my book is called The Real Business Plan. It is a very, very easy book to read. It is literally a lunch break read, 30 minutes long, 38 pages. But it's all about how to write a really simple business plan.
Okay, that's really interesting because a lot of people say, oh, I can't write a book because how am I going to write 50,000 words? Or something. So presumably you've realised that you don't actually need to have 50,000 words to do what your book does.
Not at all. And to be honest, it was a deliberate plan to write it that short. So I don't know if you've ever tried to Google business plans. If you ever Google business plans, you get presented with a 25-page template with a free 40-page PDF that explains how you fill in the template. So no one ever does it. No one ever does it. You know, and so business plans don't get written. And I was like, right, well, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way. So, yeah, I've ended up trying to simplify that write down, distill it to its absolute basics, make it totally unthreatening and easy to read. And I deliberately said, right, well, how can I make this a lunchtime read? And I kind of did a bit of looking around and I kind of realised that a book doesn't have to be a particular length. 38 pages is probably about as short as you're ever going to get. You know, if you see it on the shelf in Waterstones, it'll just disappear because it's between two big tomes. You know what I mean? Aww. But it's a real book and I'm proud of it.
Oh, of course you are. I mean, what I always say to people is your book will actually find its own length. You know, as long as you've planned it out, so long as when you do your planning, you know that you've covered everything that needs to go in it, it will find its own length. And if you start making stuff up just to pad it out, people are going to know, you know, that's not what they've picked up the book. They've not picked up the book for a load of waffle, have they? They've picked up the book for whatever it is, whatever it says it's going to do on the cover. And
it's interesting because I've read a few business books where, you know, I've got three quarters of the way through it and I thought this book's fab. Yeah, I'm enjoying this. And then the last quarter, I'm like, you probably should have stopped there. Oh.
No, waffle is never needed. Yeah.
No.
When you've said what you've got to say, stop talking. that's a lesson I should teach myself sometimes, actually. Yeah. So what was the inspiration behind the book? What is your background that led you into wanting to write a book about business plans?
Now, you see, that's interesting because I was always writing a novel. Do you know what? Everyone's always writing a novel, aren't they?
Just did one in November. Yeah.
So I've always been around words. I have always been around books and around words. In fact, my mum and dad kind of downsized over the last couple of years and I ended up with my old school reports and a couple of things kind of resonated with me. So I thought I'd just kind of bring them along and read them to you because this should make you laugh if nothing else.
Okay.
So, yeah. She has an excellent vocabulary and her words and phrases have often made up for some lack of care in writing and presentation of work.
Oh, this sounds like it could be my report, actually.
A written word is grammatically correct, inspired with imagination, although sometimes difficult to read.
You're not left-handed by any chance, are you?
Unfortunately, no, I'm right-handed, but you know, I didn't really make the slightest bit of difference. Her story writing is interesting and original, although sometimes difficult to read. There you go. So I was always going to write stories. I loved writing stories. I blame that on my mum because when we were kids, my mum, she told us the stories of like the Greek legends and stuff like that. And she got those from the children's encyclopedia. So I kind of got into stories from then, and then we progressed to kind of bedtime stories and all that kind of stuff. And my mum was dedicated. So, you know, we went through Narnia and Prince Caspian and all that kind of stuff. And we started on The Hobbit. And eventually she read me and my sister the whole of The Lord of the Rings.
Wow. That's quite an undertaking.
Absolutely. I'm very proud of my mum because she definitely got me into reading and words. So, yeah, that was kind of my thing. I've still got my school essay books where I wrote my school stories for English. Yeah. I can't let them go. I've got rid of so much stuff, but I can't let them go. So yeah, it was always about words. And then I kind of grew up and got a law degree and fell into banking by accident because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I started off in call centres and looking after people. But again, I was always very much into words and trying to make complicated things simple. So as a leader in the business, I was involved in things like the annual strategy presentations and making the strategy simple and explaining that on stage in words to people. So yeah, I could talk. That was good. I could string a sentence together. And I was so good at that, they ended up looking after internal communications for a while. So I ended up doing like the professional business communications. Lots of things happened. Things happened in my personal life. Things happened at work. And my corporate career died after 25 years in 2016. I kind of fell off a cliff. And me and the corporate world went our separate ways. That wasn't good.
But that's these things happen. These things happen, I guess.
Do you know what? I think it happens to most of us. You burn out with the corporate stuff eventually. And yeah, these days I make my money as an investor, actually. So I kind of, when the corporate career tanked, it didn't really matter because I was starting to live off sound decisions that I'd made in my 20s that kind of built up investments and stuff. So yeah, I do stocks and shares and property and all that kind of stuff. So I've kind of got a planning background. I tend to think in decades where most people kind of think in the next week.
Yeah, what are you going to have for breakfast tomorrow? That's as far as my thoughts sometimes go.
Yeah, whereas in my 20s, I was consciously packing money away into a pension that I knew I wasn't going to be able to touch for 35 years. Didn't bother me. So, yeah, for a person who loves words, I've kind of got this brain that does figures as well. So it's almost like having the soul of a writer trapped in the body of an accountant.
Why business plans then? So I get the corporate thing, I get the legal background, I get the novelist, and the whole investments. So why a book about business plans? Where did that come from?
Completely unplanned. So basically what happened was I'd started working on the novel, you know, as you do, and I'd actually started seriously working on the novel, and I'm part of a mindfulness personal development growth group, and at the beginning of 2020 we kind of set a goal. And my goal was to get a beginning of 2021, actually, my goal was to get a book published by the November 2021. And I committed that to the group. So I was working on this novel because we were right in the middle of what was becoming a very protracted lockdown, and because I'd kind of been making an independent living and I was connected to quite a few business people, although I was an investor. I could see that a lot of my friends were hurting. People who were running business were hurting. And I ended up just having a few coffee chats with people just to see how they were doing, check in with them. And one of the common themes that I kept coming across was that they were in a very difficult position, cash strapped, struggling financially, struggling mentally, because everything they've done, most people when they start a business, they jump into the business and they get on with the day-to-day of doing the business, you know, the plumbing, the hairdressing, whatever it is, the marketing stuff, acquiring customers, without ever stopping and thinking what it is that they're doing. And as a result of that, they just keep going around the hamster wheel faster and faster and faster. And if you suddenly stop that hamster wheel, the hamster goes flying off into the corner of the room. And that's kind of what happened to a lot of businesses. My heart went out to him. So we ended up just going through some stuff. And what I realized is that the reason why most people never actually commit a plan to paper is because they never actually make it real. So they get this, we're back to the 25-page template and the 40-page. Because people think that a business plan has to be a certain structure. It's got to be presented in a certain way. It's got to contain all these complicated elements like cash flow forecasts and profit plans and, you know, capacity plans and, you know, your analysis of the competitive environment and...
No idea what you're talking about now. Yeah, and I've been running a business for 13 years,
So there you go. So it frustrated me that as a result of that, people don't plan at all. And so what happens is when something goes wrong, because you've never planned, you just keep ploughing the same furrow because you get blinkered, you can't think, you can't see either side. And as a result of that, people then just got absolutely trapped when lockdown hit. So I ended up doing a few sessions and distilled a business plan back to its absolute basics. And its absolute basics is five simple steps, and they really are simple. The first thing is you work out why you were doing it in the first place. You know, who are you doing this for? You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for spending time with your family. You're doing it to pay for your retirement. You might be doing it to save up the deposit for your kids' first houses or put them through university. Whatever it is, go back to that dream. What was the dream? Make it real to you and put yourself in that dream. Because if you do that bit, then it's not a massive leap of faith to put a number on it. Okay. So you start off with the why you're doing it, and then you work out what that number is. Now, if you can only manage to plan for the next 12 months and you know in the next 12 months your car's going to die and you need to replace your car, then you've got a plan to replace your car. You know, it might be that you're planning for the retirement and your plan's actually to develop £500,000 in a pension. It doesn't matter. The thing is, make it real. So you do your why, you do your what. Then you do a bit of brainstorming to work out how you're going to do it, come up with four or five options, pick one, try it. And then you work out how you're going to measure whether that worked or not. Because if you don't measure it, then you don't know whether you've succeeded. And once you've done that bit, you just need a set of actions that are going to get you there. That's it, job done, business plan written.
Sounds very simple and straightforward.
And it is that simple and that straightforward. And because that worked, and it worked with two or three people, I talked to them. I said, look, do you think this would help other people? And they were like, too right, it will, Kath. And I could spend the rest of my life, an hour at a time, working with an individual business to say, look, let's sit down, have a coffee, sort this out. But I'm kind of passionate about growing the economy as well. I think that businesses can work very well together and create a really strong and stable economy. It's good in the US, works in Germany. We're not very good at it in the UK because the UK economy is run by the global corporates, you know. So, you know, whereas if the small businesses can work together, then we can all grow the economy together. So I ended up writing it down in a book. And to be fair, originally that was going to be a little ebook. It was going to be a PDF that you just downloaded from somewhere. And then I realized, hang on a second, no, this is real. And I want people to take it seriously. So I know I've been quite flippant about it, but actually it's got a really serious purpose. And I figured the way to make it serious and for people to take it seriously is to have it published as a book. So I ended up with a book.
I agree completely. I have so many free PDFs, free eBooks on my computer to do with marketing and business and finance and planning and stuff that, oh, I'll sign up for that. I give them my details. I never look at an email from them again. I put it in a folder on my computer and there it sits for 10, 12 years. Probably I could go back and find things in Dropbox from 15 years ago, you know, that I've never even opened. Whereas if you're actually spending money on a book, okay, you might still put it on the shelf and never look at it. You might still squirrel it away on your Kindle somewhere, but you're more likely, you've made it a financial investment in it, haven't you? You've got an actual an actual thing, a tangible thing, and you're more likely to do something with it. So yeah, that's a really good idea. So how did you get the writing process? Was it all, did you have a plan for the plan book? Because you said the book was unplanned in the first place, so which is kind of ironic.
But I kind of did, because it lent itself to a structure anyway, because there's those simple five steps. There's a little model in there, which I call basic business maths, which made itself, lends itself to a nice little model. And the last step is about going through a cycle and repeating. So that was kind of the way that finished it off. And I realised it probably needed a preface just to kind of walk you through why people don't plan. And why they should plan, but in a really simple way. So having got the core of the book, which was five, I'll call them chapters, but they're not even chapters because, you know, we're a 35, 38-page book here. But there was five core kind of messages, which is the process. At the end, there was the, this is how you actively use it, and it should be a living, breathing thing, and you just review it on a regular basis. And yeah. the starting bit was explaining why people don't plan and helping to make it real and persuasive that this is probably why you should plan.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah.
There's a book.
Yeah. So this process that you'd already kind of put together through having conversations with people and helping them out, that just naturally fed into, naturally formed the structure of the book then, with a kind of a beginning and an end, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Around it out. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get it published?
Now, that was where I saw expert help, and I am so glad that I did. Mm. I actually found, I've discovered actually there's quite a lot of them. And I think this is the kind of thing that you do these days, to be fair. But I didn't know that this thing existed, but there are consultants out there who are basically self-publishing consultants in one yeah. form or another. Now, I came across Sam Pierce at Swap Books, and she was amazing. But you know, other brands are available.
I've heard of Sam Pierce. I've heard good things about Sam Pierce as well. So yeah, and Swap Books.
So basically, she took away all the headache of trying to work out how to make it work on Kindle, for example. Mm-hmm. She took away all the headache of in terms of I didn't have to work through all the Amazon KDP help, because Amazon is a necessary evil. We'll go on to Amazon in a minute if you want my biggest learning. And also, but she had the recommendation that because my book had potentially a worldwide audience, that we didn't just restrict it to Kindle. And so it ended up on Ingram Spark as well. And I am so glad it did, because I hit a problem with the Amazon machine. Nothing else, I think that's interesting learning. So, yeah, I can tell you a bit more about that if you want.
Yeah. Tell me more, definitely.
So the original plan was that, as you must know, most book sales in the UK go through Amazon. They just do. There's no alternative to it. And Amazon do position themselves as being very easy to self-publish. But the thing is, if you just go through Amazon Kindle publishing, self-publishing, you might end up only with an Amazon book number, not an ISBN number.
Yeah.
So going through a consultant meant that I got the full ISBN number, and I've got a separate ISBN number for my paperback and for my ebook, which is important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't know all that till I went through a consultant. If you only go through Kindle, you kind of have to work your way in terms of getting it in the right format to go on an ebook. If you want to do paperback, then you still have to go with them in terms of sourcing a distributor if you haven't sourced one yourself. So the print on demand stuff, you're kind of tied in with them.
Yeah.
But the biggest learning I had is Amazon is designed for high volume and big stuff. And if you're a little guy, it's very, very easy to fall foul of them. So most what they do now is run on AI algorithms.
Like much of the internet, really, much of the world is run on algorithms, isn't it? And yeah, if you fall foul of the algorithm, then that's it. You're done for.
Computer keeps saying no. So the original plan was that I would publish through Amazon KDP as being my UK distributor. So any paperbacks and any ebooks were sold through Amazon KDP. And then Ingram Spark would be my worldwide distributor. So they deal with Amazon in the rest of the world, plus Barnes & Noble and Waterstones and anywhere else I wanted to sell it, which was, you know, seemed like a good idea. What happened was it went on to pre-sale mid-November, and the Ingram Spark went straight through. Now, Ingram Spark also sell through Amazon UK, and I didn't know this, but they do. So they've got their page there, which was a bonus, because when we tried to get it published through Amazon KDP, it turned out I inadvertently failed an algorithm, and it was actually to do with the subtitle of my book.
Okay.
So basically, my book is called The Real Business Plan. The subtitle is How to Write a Simple, Living, Breathing Business Plan That Will Actually Drive Your Business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes perfect sense, and it makes perfect sense in context.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Amazon have got an algorithm which looks at the number of times keywords appear in title and subtitle, because they're trying to avoid what the SEO guys call keyword stuffing.
Right,
and I've only learned this because this failed. And what it turns out, they won't tell you what you failed for. They'll just keep telling you you failed. So you get an email and you have to keep trying to republish. So, yeah, it turns out that I think because it's the real business plan, how to write a simple living, breathing business plan that will actually drive your business. Business arrives three times in that, and they see that as keyword stuffing, which is failing the algorithm.
Yeah. I mean, now, on the one hand, you can kind of see where they're going with it, because the number of novels you see that have the, you know, time to die, whatever it is, and then it's a gripping, thrilling, scary, crime-ridden, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the subtitle's about 20 words that are, you can see are just in there to hit those keywords. So you can kind of see the point of it. But at the same time, when you've got something that you've genuinely put together as a description of the book, and you've not done it for those purposes, it must be so frustrating, yeah, to just have it thrown back at you all the time.
And that's what happened. So, you know, and while I absolutely understand why they would do that, because you're dealing with a computer and the computer just says no, and no one human ever examines this, then you just keep failing this algorithm. So we ended up just taking the subtitle off completely, because the subtitle now appears in further down in the listing. And you know what? That fixed the problem. But in the meantime, what's interesting is it's still not showing on Amazon. If you search for my book, it only shows the Ingram Spark listing. It doesn't show the Amazon listing. So I don't know what they've done, because we've republished it, and we've republished it without the subtitle. But it's still showing the Ingram Spark listing with the subtitle. And the e-books that are going onto the Kindle have all got the Ingram Spark Amazon code on. Amazon code on.
Yeah, I have heard that there are problems that when you publish through Ingram Spark as well, you shouldn't use them for the Amazon distribution, because it can cause problems. So it sounds like that's where that's fallen flat.
It only became a problem because Amazon's algorithm basically caused the problem. So it's Amazon that have actually shot themselves in the foot. But trying to navigate that on my own, I would not have known where to start.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've had some very good dealings with their customer service, and I've had some very poor dealings where they just come back and say, well, it's because of the thing we've told you it's about. I had a problem with my book where I couldn't get Amazon have this expanded distribution thing, a bit like Ingram, where they will make it available to third party sellers as well. Although it's not as good, because the pricing is different. It's not as good as Ingram. But I put my book into that, and they came back and said, no, it's been rejected because you've got... what was it? Too much black ink in your book. And I was like, okay. So can you tell me what? There are a couple of pictures in there. So I thought maybe it's one of the pictures. Can you tell me which pages have too much black ink, and then I can sort them out? No, it's just too much black ink in the book. And I said, well, unless you tell me, I can't fix the problem. Yeah, and then it's just like you're banging your head against a brick wall, isn't it?
The computer just keeps saying no.
I know. But it's interesting to hear, though, because most people I talk to say, I published for Amazon and everything went really well. So it's really good to hear that it doesn't always quite work out. So the book's only been out a couple of months, I'm guessing.
Pre-sale. Nearly 3 months. So it was pre-sale 15th of November, and it went live 2nd of December.
Okay. Yeah. And how have you been promoting it? And, you know, because marketing of books is really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and to be honest, mostly it's through connections and networking. So I do a lot of networking because I'm so much better face-to-face. I like having conversations. And I'm having to learn a whole skill, which is marketing, because it's just not natural to me. So I've gone out. I belong to a lot of networks anyway. I've got various networks that I kind of rock up as their pet investor. You know, I've been doing that for a bit, because it's nice to know actually that you've got someone who invests in property and stocks and shares. And I have occasionally invested in small businesses. So being able to give businesses an investor perspective has been useful, as a result of which I belong to a number of mastermind groups and a number of networks. I've always had this kind of soft spot for networking. I used to be, when we were face-to-face, I used to be the group leader at Edinburgh Park for networking. Networking more for a social life, because at that stage I was just out there as an investor and I wasn't really looking for clients. I was trying to give something back, you know, and be able to kind of share some experience. So I ended up back with Four Networking over lockdown and made some connections there. So, yeah, I go to networking meetings. I talk to people in various business groups and mastermind groups, and when you're problem solving, they kind of like the support, and I kind of say, if that works, have a look at the book, you know, if you like it, tell your friends. So it's been very, very organic in that respect. I do have now a business Facebook page, a business LinkedIn page. I've got my personal Facebook profile, my LinkedIn profile. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing with it, so I'm now getting people to teach me. I do like blogging, right? I've discovered that, oh, we're about to write words down again, aren't I? I love writing 500 words at a time. That works for me. Writing 25 for a social media post, not my thing. Not doesn't fly my boat. No, I just don't enjoy doing it.
Well, LinkedIn I think is a better platform for doing posts that are more like blog posts really than tweets. They do like the sort of long form thing there. So what tips have you got for anyone who, you know, has a specialist interest maybe, or, you know, can see that there's a gap in the market for some sort of book that they think they could fill?
Yeah, a few things really. I mean, the first thing I would say is I did actually pilot this in I didn't plan to pilot as a book. I piloted it as a process and discovered it worked, because I think the worst thing in the world would be to write a book like this, get it published, and then realize that you've missed two vital steps, for example. So definitely try it out, test it on some people. And also what that does is it kind of buys you advocates, because the people who I went through the initial process with have been raving fans of my book, and they tell people about it, because in fact they got it for free, you know. But they did help me develop it, but they've been great in terms of giving me testimonials and telling other people about it. So definitely that is a key learning. Test the thing before you actually get as far as publishing it. I think the other thing that I have learned, and it's as much about me and my mindset as it is about the book, is actually having the confidence to step out and own the label. So when my corporate career tanked, I kind of like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing. And it was only through going out networking that I discovered that I had something that worked for people, which was when I started describing myself as an investor. So, you know, then I started owning the label investor. That was good. It worked, you know, and people understood the value that I could add, and it kind of gave me an identity. So that was cool, and I liked that. And I realized that, having done the Googling stuff and discovered that you can have free business plan templates that no one ever uses, or you can pay like 900 quid to about $2,500 to a business plan factory that will produce you a formula business plan that you might use to try and get a loan that you might or might not get, and then it goes away in a drawer to die. There's nothing in the middle. No one is owning that business planning space. So it's actually quite easy for me to rock up and just say I'm the business planning expert, because actually I am. But I've also got the credibility, because I've planned in decades, and I plan to be financially free by the age of 50, and I did it at the age of 47. So it's not that I'm not, you know, it's not that I don't have the technical skills, but actually most people don't want to rock up and say they're a business planning expert, because it's about as exciting as estate agent or bank manager.
But you've made it, no, I would say more exciting, definitely, because it sounds like you've made a real difference to some business owners. Even though those first few that you sat down and talked to, who were going through a really, really tough time through no fault of their own. You know, I mean, this damn pandemic, which has caused chaos in so many different areas of life for so many people. And yet your boring business planning skills, you were able to go in and completely change their life by giving them something to focus on and kind of giving them that hope back. So, you know, I think they're just at every role, however boring anyone might think it is so important. It goes back to what you said about businesses working together, isn't it? Every role, every business is valid, because you've got something that someone else hasn't got. And to you, it might be obvious and second nature, and who would want to know that? But actually, to somebody else who doesn't have that knowledge and doesn't have that skill, what you're offering is gold, isn't it? You know, and I think that's
of course it is.
None of us realise that the knowledge that we have is an absolute hidden treasure to somebody else.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm kind of stepping into, and I'm quite comfortable now. So yeah, I am quite comfortable as kind of the business planning expert. I wouldn't say I'm yet comfortable as an author, I'm not sure I'm ready to own that one yet, but I'm working on that one. I'm working on it. I think the other thing is I do try and be quite pragmatic, down to earth. I'm quite good at telling stories and I can occasionally make people laugh, which means that actually as a business planning expert, not turning up in a stuff suit and looking like an accountant does kind of help a bit as well, because I'm trying to be the human face of planning. And I do think that kind of works a little bit as well. So definitely if you've got a personality, and most of us have, then don't be afraid of it. I think one thing people sometimes worry about, and it's stuff that I've come across when I've been networking, is people worry that actually their personality might put someone off. But I come back to this collaboration thing. What I do know is the way I've written the real business plan is going to resonate with a lot of people, and some people just ain't going to get it at all.
Yeah.
Some people will warm to me, some people won't like me, and that's okay, because there's a global marketplace out there and there's so many people who are needing that help, that the ones it does click with and resonate with, I can help. And you know what? If you don't get it, I can't help you anyway. So that's why I don't see competition. I mean, in effect, when I go networking, I can go into a networking meeting where there's at least 6 or 7 coaches in the room. And technically, I'm probably a business coach. It's not our position myself, but I probably am a business coach. I fit in that category. But we all offer something different. So we're not in competition. You know, we can all, we only talk to certain segments of the audience, and B, actually sometimes working together, you can deliver some phenomenal results and triple the audience that you'd be fighting over.
Yeah.
You know, half of that if you were seen as competition. So for me, it's all about collaboration.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And accepting that, you know, you're going to be the perfect fit for some people, and some people are just not going to get you at all. I wrote a book last year about writing and publishing books, kind of a book that I've been planning to do for years, and finally got off my backside and got on with it and wrote it. And one of the people who read an early version of it said the content was good, but my style was too waffly, it was too conversational, I started too many sentences with and I kind of thought, okay, I can see all that, but that is the way I talk. And what I want this book to be is me sitting down next to you, talking to you. And if I start changing it and formalizing everything and making it all very succinct and making it all, you know, it's not grammatically incorrect, but it's grammatically sloppy, I guess, in a way, because that's how I talk. And I'm a proofreader. So, yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's my style. I thought, OK, so my style isn't for you. But actually, that's absolutely fine, because there are plenty of other people who said, it's like you're sitting next to me. It's, you know, this is exactly what I need. It's friendly. It's conversational. It's all those things that I wanted it to be. But it's just, especially when you start getting reviews, I think you get that. Sometimes you can get a review and it makes you go, ouch, I don't like that. But actually, you have to just say that person is not for me. There are plenty of people that are, that my book will
absolutely
be
agree with that. Yeah, and to be honest, my book is, while I am, like I said, a bit like you, I've got the legal background, I've got the grammatical background, internal communications, I had to make sure that the stuff that was going on the group intranet was grammatically and factually correct and all that kind of stuff. So my book is not technically 100% grammatically correct, but it's interesting. One of my first reviews did say, in the middle of it, which I loved, it felt like Kath, the author, was holding my hand throughout the process, which was really comforting.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's why I'm doing it. And if you don't like that style, that's okay. Go find the book that you do like, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a low entry price. It costs you $7.99 to write a business plan. You know, I'm trying to make this as accessible as I can. And if it didn't work for you, I'm really sorry that you've lost the price of a pint.
But no, you're right. It's a small price to pay. And I mean, you win some, you lose some. And hopefully most people will love that and will feel like you're sitting there holding their hand, talking them through the process. And for the other people, there are other books out there that will be more formal, more rigid, more structured, more boring, more than.
Yeah. It's the way, you know, the way that their brain works, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying the boring, rigid or structured, but if their expectation is that, then that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's as an author, though, I do think you do have to grow a little bit of a thick skin and also just acknowledge that you're not going to be for everyone. And that way you'll be fine. So what's next for you? Do you think, is this novel going to come along, or are there other nonfiction books coming?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. So This basically is an entry level. If you've never written a plan before in your life, it doesn't have to be difficult. Yeah. I am passionate, actually, that once you've got a business running and you've got a good working business, that you should be trying to grow that business. And I do think quite often businesses can't grow without attracting investment. Now, what I hate is that everyone assumes that if you need investment, you need to go away and write a formal business plan. And actually, that doesn't work for me. So my next step is to educate people that if you build a growing business with a vision and with an exit strategy, and you know, you've got processes in place and employees and things like that, that's a business that is saleable at the end of your career or when you're ready to get rid of it. But it's also a business that people want to invest in. So grow your business, build a growing business, and then look for the investor. So what I've done with a couple of people is take it to the next level and done some one-to-one coaching where we write a more formal business plan, but we still write two versions. So we write the version that is your business plan. It's out as it comes out your head. And actually, if that's all you want, then that's fine. It's your plan. It's your structure. If you want it in whiteboards all over your office rather than a document, I don't care. As long as you're going to grow your business with it, I don't care. Yeah. You know. But if you really do want to try and attract investors, then we can take that learning and I can guide you in terms of how you can write that into a formal business plan as well that you could then take to a bank or to a Dragon's Den type thing.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm doing that one-to-one, but I'm an investor and what I'd rather do is invest in assets that will pay me without me actually having to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's a book there. It's not as easy to write. That one's going to be more than 38 pages. It's certainly not going to be a brick because people still won't read it. So, but there's something there, and there's something there about the principles. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the novel's still there as well. So, you know, I am going right back to those stories that I used to write as a child, and that is where my passion is. My favorite author is Stephen King, and Stephen King just observes people and tells stories about people and relationships, and he describes things that allowed me in my head to see New England and Maine without ever having traveled there. And there was something magical about that I don't ever want to let go. So there's definitely a novel in there somewhere. And, I have written about a third of it. I will come back to it. But it was interesting. I did listen to a few of your podcasts before we did this, and there was a conversation about the fact that you could tell when someone had started a book, put it on one side and then started writing it again. I thought, going to have to be careful on that one.
There is because we change. We change as people, don't we? All the time we're changing. And I think it was someone who had started writing a book 5 years ago and had kind of got halfway through and put it to one side and then came back to it 5 years later. And everything about them, the world, their writing style, had changed. And there was such a disconnect between the two halves of this book. So it was a real kind of an editing challenge to kind of pull it all together. So it sounded like it was the same person who had written it but it is really interesting. Yeah, you kind of have to, my view is write it as quickly as possible and then take all the time you want to edit it, because at least you've got it all down at the same sort of, the same sort of time period. But everyone's different.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own way of writing. Yeah.
Was it Harper Lee who wrote one book and then spent forever and finally produced a second one like decades later or something?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I think her publishers kept asking for another book, didn't she? And it just wasn't the time.
And
eventually she wrote it. Yeah, but it was like, I don't know, 50 years later or something, wasn't it?
A long time.
But it just shows, that this, the time will be right at some stage.
I think so.
If you feel like writing a book, if you always want to write a book, but it's not coming right now, just sit with it. The time will come and that moment will come. And like with your novel, it's always been in there. Part of it's kind of squeezed out, but something else came along. But it's still there, and one day the time will be right and it will find its way into the world, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Kath, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where can people find out more about you online and more about your book?
So I do have a website. which is www.mymasterplan.co.uk. I had to think about that because the website's only just gone live.
Okay.
I am on LinkedIn. You can find me as Kath Parrington on LinkedIn and also My Master Plan on LinkedIn, Facebook. I am not so good. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on Twitter. Don't try and find me there. I might end up having to go there, but, you know, I think that's going to take a wee while before I can summon up the courage for that one. But, you know, I welcome connections, I welcome messages, and, you know, I'm not one of those LinkedIn profiles that says you have to follow me before you try and connect or anything like that. And I love getting to know people, and try and find me at a networking event if you want as well. Happy to talk to people there.
Definitely. I've been in for networking for many, many years on and off, and back again since lockdown started as well. So, networking is definitely a great way to find people and to find ideas. I mean, your book, I guess, has come out of networking, essentially.
It absolutely has, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been lovely. It's been really great to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kath Parrington for being my guest on the show today. You can find out more about Kath on her personal blog site, kathparrington.org, that's Kath with a K, or on her business website, mymasterplan.co.uk. And of course, the book, The Real Business Plan, is on sale on Amazon and at all good bookstores. If you've developed a process that works and you'd like to turn it into a book, then I would love to help. My website is www.theprooffairy.com, and you'll find lots of information there about how I work with authors, including details of group programs designed to get you started. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.